Okay, let's go. Last week we dealt with some of the principles to do with the Issa of Hotzar, and want to discuss a couple of practical issues. Last week we established amongst our principles last week that something which is a malbush, something which is an article of clothing or a tachshit, one is allowed to wear. Anything which doesn't fall into those categories, then you're not allowed to go out with on Shabbat. It's regarded as carrying. And then we saw certain cases, even within those parameters, where Chazal said it was prohibited to go out with these things on Shabbat, various types of jewellery, etc., etc., generally because of a gzeira that you might come to carry those items. That's, and we saw the whole question, why is it nowadays that people do wear jewellery, etc., etc. So I want to deal tonight, start off with the question of really what constitutes an item of clothing. That's I'm not sure if I mentioned this joke last week, but you know, it's the old joke that, you know, person says, oh, you know, I flew on holiday, you know, on Shabbat because I was strapped into the aeroplane, so I was wearing the aeroplane. That's so that's clearly not halachically sound. You know, you can't maintain that you're wearing an aeroplane. But you know, what counts as you know, as wearing something? You know, take an extreme example. That's if it's raining outside and I go out with a chair on my head. That's to protect me from the rain. That's, and when I get to your house, I'm going to sit on the chair. That's, and schmooze to you. That's so, you know, am I wearing the chair or am I carrying the chair? So I think it's you know, quite obvious to us that in that case you're carrying the chair rather than wearing it. You might be, you know, have it over your head, but it's not a hat in any sense. So let's start off by looking at the Gemara on Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says as follows: Amar Rav Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hayotze b'talit mekupelet munachat lo al kitefo b'shabbat. So if you take a talit, I don't know if it's talking about a ritual talit necessarily, but a cloak, which usually you wear a cloak draped over you, and it's there to either help you fly or more likely to protect you, that's from, you know, from the mud and from the wind, that's, or perhaps as a status symbol, whatever it is. But you wear it opened out. In this case, you're not wearing it in the normal way. Rather, you've got it folded up over your shoulders. That's chayav chatat. You're going to be chayav chatat. Why? Because clearly you're not wearing this, but you're carrying it. You happen to be carrying it round your shoulders, but rather than in your hand, but you certainly can't say that this is functioning, that's as wearing it. As opposed to one would, you know, interrupt and say, you know, a scarf, which is worn that way, and it's just worn round the neck, and maybe just even draped round the neck, that would be regarded as wearing it rather than carrying it. But because this particular item of clothing is usually worn draped over you, so if it's just wrapped around your neck, then it's clearly this is a way of transporting it rather than wearing it. Tanya Nami Hachi, Sochare Kasuta Yotzim Betalitiot, Mukupalotum Nachot al Kitfehem Beshabbat, Chayem Chavin Chatat. So, merchants who sell items of clothing, if they if they're wearing these robes around their necks, so then they're going to be chayav chatat because that's the way that they're carrying these things. Lo sochare kesut milvad. That's only an example. Ela kol adam ela shadar kan shel mochrin latzeke. That's the way that mochrin, people who trade in these things, vendors, they will carry them out. That's they don't drape themselves with them, but they wrap it round their neck. The implication of this sugya is that if I'm wearing it, then it's not going to be a problem of carrying it at all. So it might be that, you know, that I see you in shul on Friday night, and you say that you say to me, you know, you've got your nephew's bar mitzvah in wherever, you know, tomorrow, and they've asked everybody, to all the members of the family, to wear a red tie. And you say to me, "Oi vey, I forgot to buy a red tie." So I said to you, "Oh, it's fine, I've got a red tie. That's, I'll bring it round to you tomorrow." You have to, you know, imagine we live in a place where there's no A-roof. So I'll wear it round my neck to come to you tomorrow and then give it to you. Now, clearly in that instance, the reason why I've been wearing it round my neck is to transport it from my house to your house. But nevertheless, I've been wearing it as either a malbush or a tachshit, however you understand a tie. That's, some people claim strongly that a tie is neither a malbush nor a tachshit, and therefore they don't wear ties. That's, if you wear a tie, so you've worn it either as an article of clothing or as a decorative item, and therefore, even though you're transporting it, you're transporting it in a permissible manner, as opposed to something which, you know, you're not wearing it in the normal manner, and therefore you're clearly carrying it. That's so we'll come to that. We'll come to the question that's of a second tie. But actually, that's more realistically, we're actually going to see it in the context of the question about a second belt. That's, and the Shabbos key belt. That's, it'll answer the same question. Let's look now on Amud Bet. And the Gemara there says, Amar Rabbi Chiya, but Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Haulairin Mavin Balre Nashim Livnei Bane. So what are these Ulairin? These Ulairin are basically bathhouse attendants. And they can bring the balrei nashi, the towels for the women. That's they can bring them home. Uvadshit kaseh bahen roshan vruban, so long as they wear it as a shawl. And this is exactly demonstrating, you know, what I said. You know, so you have to cover your head. It has to cover the person's head and, you know, most of their body. That's, but clearly the reason why you're wearing this towel, that is to bring it home, that's, rather than to actually wear it. But nevertheless, so long as you are wearing it and it's functional as a robe rather than as anything else, so it's going to be permissible for you to wear it in that way and to bring it from A to B. So we see that, you know, something which is essentially an item of clothing but is worn not as an item of clothing, that is going to be prohibited on Shabbat. Something which is essentially not an item of clothing, but in this instance is functioning as an item of clothing, so then it's going to be permissible. So our key point here, I guess, is a point of functionality rather than anything else. And these points are summarized by the Tor and by the Beit Yosef. That's including the point in the Gemara that, you know, certain things have to be perhaps tied onto you in a certain way, or tied under your neck, or tied round your shoulders. That's to make sure that they don't fall off. If you look in the Tor in Shin Aleph, so if we look at the second half, so he says, "Habalanim yicholim lahavi sadinim shemistabkim bahem derech rushat harabim derech malbush." So you can bring these towels, so long as you carry them, as it were, derech malbush, as if you were wearing them. Sheyachasu bo roshov rubo, covering, you know, most of your body, like a robe or a cloak would. Saknita for whose sudar gadol shetalui lo ben ketefav. Rosh Atufbo. This is some sort of, again, some sort of, I think, sort of some sort of kafia, really, that, you know, covers your head and the ends hang down in front of you. That's imavio derech rushat harabim sarach likshor beit roshav lamata bichtefav zemzeh shelo yipol merosho. You have to have it, you know, tied in such a way that it won't fall off and no longer be serving as a covering, so that it's functionality is not going to be impaired. Levadin hakashin. Now, if you've got hard, that's, or stiff felt, that's asola havi amrishus harabim or bekarmelit derech malbush. So you can't bring that derech malbush by wearing it through the street. V'imhein rachin uvein onim shari. But if it's soft, then you can. Why? Because if it's felt boards, then yeah, you might have it on your head or whatever it is, or sort of hanging over your back. But that's not derech malbush because it doesn't function as an item of lavush there. Now, but if it's soft and flexible, so then it serves as a beged, and therefore it's going to be permissible. Shtei chagorot zo al gav zo. Now the two belts, one on top of the other, asur. It's prohibited to wear two belts, one on top of another. We're going to see this actually in machloket in the Rishonim, but the Torah is saying it's prohibited to wear two belts, one on top of the other. Dahavei masui. It's clear that you're carrying the second belt, because the second belt is not functional. Okay, functionality is the key word with what we're discussing this evening. Avar beit levushim shari, but if you wear two items of clothing, so they're both functional, so it's going to be permissible. Seif ha-mitzvot hitir beit sarbalim v'asar beit chalukim. Seif ha-mitzvot makes a fine chiluk between two sarbalim. A sarbal is like basically an overcoat, and a chaluk is a shirt. So it says you can wear two overcoats but not two shirts. The Beit Yosef addresses that question. But again, we're seeing it emphasized by the Torah, this principle of functionality. That's now, if we look in the Beit Yosef towards the halfway through, that's so it's just at the top of the second page, he brings from the Rokeach. So the Rokeach says, Shemutali Tasef Betalito, Tachat HaMaktoren, Ulahavi Olavei Takneset. You can wear your talit underneath your coat and wear it to shul, even though that's it's not necessarily a regular malbush that you would wear out in the street. Nevertheless, it's functioning here as a robe or as a talit shel mitzvah at least, and therefore, even though his lashon here is ulahavi olavei takneset, your motivation here is to bring it to shul. Right, it's not to keep you warm in the street. You've got a nice overcoat for that. Your motivation is to bring it to shul. Nevertheless, because you're doing it derech malbush, it's going to be permissible. That's and the chatav od so mehacha mashmir shemutal lotzi malbush tzor chaviro even the b'shenu I'll call malbushav. You say to me, I'm sitting next to a person in shul Friday night, says it's his nephew's bar mitzvah tomorrow, and they said, they've asked me, please wear a white shirt. The person sitting next to me in shul Friday night never wears a white shirt. But his family have asked him for the bar mitzvah. Please don't show the family up, and please come wearing a white shirt. So he tells me and says, I don't own a white shirt. So don't worry, I'll come around to your house tomorrow morning. That's with a white shirt for you. All right, so I wear it. That's al malbushav. I wear two shirts. I put on two shirts in the morning. That's going to be permissible. Aval bishnei chagurim, that's asur. But to have two belts is prohibited. That's now, why is that going to be? Why is it going to be permissible for me to wear two shirts? Because at the end of the day, the second shirt is being functional. How's it being functional? It's keeping me warm. That's on a bright, hot, sunny day like today, I might not particularly want that to be wearing the second shirt. But at the end of the day, it is functioning as an extra layer of insulation for me. Sometimes, in the cold winter, a person might wear two jumpers. We've all done it, sometimes very, very cold, you wear two jumpers. Don't usually wear two shirts because it's kind of difficult to get into two shirts. But to some degree, we do. You know, a person might, in the winter, you know, wear a t-shirt and then a regular, you know, a smart shirt on top of it. And essentially, what you're doing is you're wearing two shirts. They look different. So instead of wearing a t-shirt and a smart shirt, so the person wears two smart shirts. It's functional, and therefore you're allowed to you're allowed to do it. So let's look at a discussion here in the Bet Yosef about the two belts. So Shtecha Gorot Zargavzo is Asur. Bereish Perek Bameisha, Gemara on Daf Nun Tet, Amalei Ravin Ravashi, Kamra Ilave Hamyana, Mai. So if you wear a camera seems to be some sort of belt, on top of your hamyana is another type of belt. So one type of belt on top of another type of belt. My, what's the din? Amarle, that's Rav Ashi said to him, Tre himyane kamart. Essentially, you're talking about wearing two belts. That's, you've spoken about a sash and a belt, but that should be no different to two belts. Now, there's a machloket in the Rishonim, what Rav Ashi meant when he said, Tre himyane kamart. You're talking about two belts. Was he saying that, oh yeah, you're talking about two belts. Yeah, of course you can wear two belts, so why can't you wear a belt and a sash? Or was he saying, oh well, you're talking about wearing two belts. Of course you can't wear two belts, and you can't wear a belt and a sash either. Perish Rashi Tre Hamyani Kamat Havadai Masuihu Vasu. Rabbeinu Halevi Matzadi B'tamidav Mutar Farishon Nireh Ad Kan Rishon. So Rashi brings both of these understandings. V'chein Nireh Shudata Tosfot V'harosh Le'esor. Tosfot and the Rosh also both think that it means Treim Yana, you're wearing two belts. Of course you can't wear two belts. That's and that's what other Rishonim say as well. If you look down a few lines, he quotes the Kolbo. Katuv shebal hayureim oser afilu malbush mafsik beinehem im einu tzarich ele echad mehem shelo hitiru al gabei delei kavdavka. So the Yureim says, even if you've got a malbush in between, that's the two belts, unless you need both belts, it's going to be prohibited. So, for example, that's if you just say, okay, well, you know, I've got, you know, my friend asked me to bring, you know, if he could borrow a belt, you know, on Shabbat morning. That's okay, so I'll wear one belt under my trousers and one belt on my trousers, and that way I'm not wearing a belt on top, and you know, I've got a malbush in between them, but it's still one of those belts, in this case the belt that's under the trousers, is not functional, and therefore it's regarded as carrying it. On the other hand, if I've got, you know, something, you know, trousers with a belt, and then suddenly you've got a jacket which has a belt on it, you know, sort of a safari type jacket, you know, which belts up. Okay, that's so that would be permissible. Or, you know, you've got a raincoat with a, although we'll come on to the gartels, we'll come on to the gartels in a moment. That's so it's going to be permissible, because, you know, the second both belts are functional. That, however, v'harifish mitadit trehim yane v'gam harambam lois kiro peret yutet le'iso. So the Beit Yosef says that, seeing as neither the Rambam nor the Rif mention that two belts is going to be a problem, so therefore it must be that they hold that it's not a problem, and they understand the Gemara as Trehim Yane Kamart, as meaning that, yeah, Trehim Yane Kamart, yeah, it's the old case of two belts. Of course you can wear two belts, so you can wear a sash and a belt as well. And we're going to see in the Shulchan Aruch that this is a point of discussion. Let's just go on to the functionality, though, again, of two items of clothing. You can see in the next paragraph there, in the Beit Yosef, that's Umashe Katru B'Shem Sefer HaMitzvot Le'esor Shnei Chanukim, Lo Matzativ, that's B'Shem Sefer. I wasn't able to find that anywhere. But Tam Svarazu, but the reason for it is obviously, Mishum Dishnei Chanukim, Ein Hanabahem, V'Ein Derech Le'lavshan, Umasuihu. There's no hana, so there's no functionality. It's not functioning as a as an item of clothing for you. That in terms of what he's suggesting is, according to the Sefer HaMitzvot, the definition of a malbush is something which perhaps has beneficial functionality. That's it. Functions in a beneficial way. That's, so the interesting question is, on a hot day, you're wearing your jacket. That's, according to this, it's a very hot day, and you went to shul Shabbat morning with your jacket on. It wasn't so hot. When you came out of shul a couple of hours later, it's boiling, boiling hot. You wouldn't normally wear your jacket. The only thing is, you want to get your jacket home. That's, and therefore, you need to wear it. That's because you can't carry it. So according to this Sefer HaMitzvot, it would seem that not only does it have to be functioning as a jacket, but it also has to be giving you some benefit. Unless you say that, his definition of functionality means that you're benefiting from it. But, presumably he would say, just as wearing two shirts is, is you're not getting any benefit from it. So likewise, wearing a jacket on a very hot day when you would not normally wear it, and the only reason you're wearing it is to get it from A to B, that would also presumably be prohibited. That's so that's the view of the Sefer HaMitzvot. Aval HaTosfot katuv sof perek chavit gabei savnita that tzarich lekashesh nei rosh elamata she savnita hu beged dak u'mishum hachi tzarich lekashesh nei rosh elamata. So this savnita is something which is very flimsy. That's, and therefore you need to tie it shelo yafrichenu arug, so it doesn't blow away. That's or mishum denira kein masud if you should dak mod ve'inu nira malbush. Ela im kein kashor. Hare sheitu afa pushedak, the ein bohanat malbush. Kevin shenoseo to derch malbushav. So he's saying that, according to his understanding of the Tosfot, is that even though it's very duck, it's very flimsy and very thin, so you're not actually getting benefit from it, so long as you wear it like a malbush, it doesn't matter that you're not getting benefit from it. So I think one could debate this point, and one could perhaps suggest that the reason why you can wear it is because even though you're not getting warmth benefit from it, clothes that are a malbush, but they serve various purposes. Sometimes they, and they are functional in different ways. Sometimes they are functional in keeping you warm. Sometimes they are functional in keeping the sun off you. And sometimes they're functional because they want to project an image. That's, why does a person, wear a jacket in a certain context? You wear a certain jacket in something because you want to look formal. It's not that you feel cold, but you're wearing the jacket because you want to show either gravitas about yourself or the situation in which you find yourself in, etc., etc. So that's, you could say that the definition of a malbush, a functional malbush, doesn't only mean that it's keeping you warm or that it's protective of you in one way or another, but also that it's functioning as an item of clothing with the manifold uses of clothing. Or you could actually say, in the case of this savnita or sachnita, however one should read it, that it's a tachshit more than a malbush. Sometimes a tie, is it a malbush or is it a tachshit? So the savnita, is it a malbush or is it a tachshit? That's, you wear this robe, this cape, it's not protecting you in any way, but it's a status symbol or a tachshit of some sort. That's, so, go on, Jeremy. Oh. No. Right. Okay. Right. So the plastic hat protectors, that's which turn a nice looking Shabbos hat into looking like something a bit comical. That's it's a machloket in the poskim as to whether or not it's permissible. Indeed, many poskim say that it's not permissible because it's coming to be meshamesh the hat. It's there. You're even though it's you're kind of wearing it, you know, but you've attached it to your hat to protect the hat rather than to protect you. Others want to say, no, it's actually stopping the rain, you know, getting through, penetrating your hat through to your head, and therefore it's permissible. Or some suggest some of them are quite tightly shaped. So they, in recent years, they've developed a different type of hat thing that which is much more tightly fitting, and you know that you know possibly is batel to the is batel to the hat. That's let's just look at a few more things, and then we'll then we'll go through when we've seen a few more sources, then we'll be able to discuss any other cases. So let's look at Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Aleph, Se'if Lamed Vav. If you open Shin Aleph, Se'if Lamed Vav. So Shin Aleph, Se'if Lamed Vav says as follows, that Mutalat Se'if Shabbat B'Shnei Mabu Shim Zal Gavzeh, Bein Letzorko, Bein Letzorach Chaveiro. So even if it's Letzorach Chaveiro, even though that's it's regarded as Derech Malbush rather than carrying it, that's Bein Shem Shnei Chalukim, Bein Shem Shnei Sarbalim, Bein Shem Shtei Chagorot Zor Gabezo. So the Mechaber is paskening, as he said in the Beit Yosef, paskening like the Rambam and the Rif, that two belts, one on top of the other, should be permissible. V'afilu ein malbush masik beinehem. However, the Rama says, v'yesh osrim shtei chagorot zel zeh, ela imkein malbush masik beinehem. V'chein ra'u linhog. So you have to have a malbush in between the belts, that's so that you're introducing some functionality into the equation. That so look at the and we'll look momentarily at the Mishnah Berurah, but you know this is a big question. Often you see people that's who either in a place where there's no Eruv or where they don't, they're not so meich on the Eruv, and they have a key belt. And they simply put the key belt round their waist. That's and it's you know just on top of their regular belt. So that's certainly I would say hanach lahem Yisrael. That's the Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch, you know, has paskened that way that it's fine. That's you know so certainly yeshal milismoch. That's and you know. Don't get them too distressed. That's mutaf shi shog again, you know, etc., etc. Certainly, you know, there's good basis. You know, the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch paskens that way. Nevertheless, the Rama says so. At least for Ashkenazim, that the chein ra'u linhog that one should be strict. Look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkan and Kuf Lamed Gimel. V'lo damin lishnei mabushim shederach anu v'oshol tam ipnakor. Aval trecha gorot mana yesh v'ein derech lachgor umasuihu. You don't usually wear two belts, and therefore it's a masui. Umashma poskim d'luchay alma ein esuro elamit rabanan. Kevan shal kol panim derech levishahu. So it's interesting, he's saying here that it's clear that it's an Issa de Rabbanan, because at the end of the day, you are actually wearing it. You are actually wearing it, but it looks like it's a Masui. That's V'choshekein l'achgor patzlaka al hachagora. So this is put your handkerchief round your waist. Dein derech l'achgor b'kach da'asur. V'chai adam katud v'zvazeh afil l'dar rishona asur. T'kevan she'in derech l'achgor b'azeh b'chol. Who ties their handkerchief round their waist during the week? Mimka l'akol she'em ma'arim l'hotzi v'afil b'karim l'it asur. That's, so it's always going to be, prohibited. That's, so the question is, or a question is, that, you know, under what circumstances, you know, what are we going to regard as, okay, so I'm wearing my belt on top of another garment. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Igrot Moshe, Orachaim Chelik Gimel Simon Memfav, where he discusses this, that he says, you know, so okay, so you'll wear your second belt, you'll wear your key belt. He doesn't say it's a key belt, but he's actually talking about a gartel. So you'll wear your gartel, you know, higher up. You won't wear it round your trouser belt, because then clearly you're carrying it. But wear it higher up, and then it's keeping your tie in place. Okay, so maybe you're using it now as a mulbush. So he dismisses that. He doesn't like that. Why not? Because he says, you know, that's you know, the tie is a tachshit, and you know, you don't wear a belt over the tachshit. There's no functionality that's you know, to hold a tie in place with a belt. If you want to hold your tie in place, so you have a nice tie pin, that's what you use. You don't use a gartel to hold your tie in place. So then he goes on to you know, discuss. So can you wear your gartel on your you know, over your shirt? So he says also you couldn't do that, because it's either over your shirt or over your vest or whatever it is, because it's not being functional as a mulbush, that's in any sense. That's but he says if it's there, that's to look towards the end, Lachain ein hachagura malbush ela kshuli yapotet levishat habeged shelosh shach zeba hachaluk shal basaro. So it's a malbush. Remember, belts have, you know, again, multiple functions. You know, it's one of the you know, really interesting things. There's a lot of psychology written on you know, the purpose of the role of clothing. You know, clothing isn't just functional in keeping us warm, but clothing shows, you know, there's all sorts of status and perceived status and aspirational status, etc., etc. So, you know, if you're wearing the gartel that's over your you know, over your jacket, or you know, for a functional purpose, so then it's going to be you know, it's going to be permitted, or to enhance the appearance of it. So Rav Moshe says, you know, you're going to have to leave your gartel at in shul. Others say that, no, listen, if you wear your gartel on top of your bekisha, that sort of, you know, bearing in mind that a gartel on a bekisha is a form of enhancing your clothing for tefillah, that's because, you know, this is all a sugya at the you know, the beginning of Masechet Shabbat, that, you know, you there are two reasons why you need the belt. One is because of Sheloy Hei Liboroeta Erva, and the other is Mishum Hikon. That's, it's a way of preparing yourself properly to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't, in Chazal's sense, you didn't wear a robe without belting it up if you were in front of somebody important. So if this is regarded as a status, you know, the Bekisha looks good with a belt, with a gartel on it, so then whether, you know, even though you're not B'shat HaTfila now, so some poskim say that's going to be acceptable, that's even to walk through the street like that. So you know, a nice Bekisha with a nice gartel round it, you know, looks good. But you know, a regular jacket with a key belt around the outside, that's you know, is a bit of a question. That's again, I saw in one of the poskim, you know, if you remove the buttons from your jacket and then the belt is going to be keeping it closed, then maybe there would be grounds for leniency. Also discussed in the poskim is the question that, you know, when you wear a coat with a belt in it, you know, if you've got a raincoat with a belt in it, do you have to have the belt in the coat? Sorry, do you have to have the belt done up? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that you don't, because you can even go with the belt just hanging, and it's not carrying the belt, because the belt is a you know, is part of the coat, and even if it's not sewn in or tied on, that it's an accessory to the coat. That's the word. It, you know, and if, especially if you've got the belt loops, if you don't have the belt round it, it looks shabby, it looks messy, and therefore that you don't even need to have it. You don't even have it, need to have it belted up. Now, a related question is the question of the wristwatch. So can you wear a wristwatch on Shabbat? And this relates to the question, essentially, that of, are you wearing it or are you carrying it? So I've got it. Now, have I strapped a watch to my wrist and this is the way I'm carrying it? Or is it that I'm actually wearing it? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Memhei, you'll see as follows, he addresses the watches. Of course, their watches were different to our watches. So about three quarters of the way through that Sifkatan Memhei in Simon Shin Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, "Well, I say to Tamora Shaot, that's the Azaiga, right? So your watch, Bivgadav Chutzla Eruv in your pocket, that's outside the Eruv. Asun Chule Alma, that's definitely prohibited. Obviously, Shayach Alzeh Shein Tachshit Kevan Shein Oderach Malbush. Okay, he's talking about a pocket watch, right? You're not wearing it; you've just got it in your pocket. It might be an expensive gold watch." But nonetheless, it's not a tachshit. You've got it tucked away in your pocket. That's an Isidore writer. Even if you were to have it, you know, you've got a gold chain round your neck. This is more likely for a woman than a man. But, you know, sometimes women have, you know, a watch on a hanging on as a pendant on a gold chain. That's Gamkenas Isugamohu, the Hamore Shaot Yeshlo Khashivut Bifneatsmo, the Eno Batel Gabe Ravit, because the watch is essentially it's got Khashivut in its own right, and therefore you can't say that it's Batel to the chain in terms of you've just hooked it onto the chain as a way of carrying it out. That's the way that you're carrying it. But that's talking about you know, pocket watches. So what about a wristwatch? So a number of tshuvot on this subject. The Minchat Yitzchak Dan Weiss in Chelek Aleph Simuf Samach Zayin is not so keen on it. Let's just look at a little bit of what he says. Hinei ledatim nomar shein hetem yishum hashon ba'atzmo af shehu ba'galui va'afim hu shel kesef zahav ba'ofen sheish lo mashu tachshit mishum de'ika asiyato lishtameish bo. So there's good grounds to say that it's not, even though it might be a tachshit in some sense, that it's only going to be in a case where it's not that the main purpose is for something else. And in this case, the main purpose is for something else. And that's what he's concerned about. He says even if you've got a nice watch strap on it, the watch strap is going to be battled to the watch rather than the other way round. In terms of, essentially, you've got a watch. And even if you've got a gold watch with a gold bracelet on it, okay, you're wearing it primarily as a watch. That's rather than, okay, well, I've got a nice gold bracelet. You know what? I'll attach a watch to it. You know, that's not the case. So Dan Weiss was of the opinion that it's prohibited. That's Rav Moshe in Chelek Aleph Simon Kuf Yud Aleph, that he looks at it more fundamentally about how to understand what a malbush is. And he's got something which I think is quite a big chiddush. Rav Shlomo Zalman is also brought down saying something very similar. This is an important observation that he makes. Let's just look at the first couple of lines. Ravidavari mutale ishli bosha on al yado b'shabbat. Hinei hasha'onim shenosim b'kis pato pashut shaso. So pocket watch is definitely prohibited. Efshar Eino Bedin Tachshit Kevan She'eino Lo Shoku She'omeid. So what about a pocket watch that you wear sort of, dangling? You know, there's, again, two types of pocket watch. You've got a rubbishy type of pocket watch, which, that you keep in your pocket. But if you've got a gold pocket watch, you know, you might, you'll have your gold chain and the gold watch, and the gold watch might be hanging there, you know, and it looks, it's very nice. And even if it's tucked into the pocket, it's, you know, still a touch, you know, it's, it's a very, you know, posh, you know, thing to do. If you've got a gold pocket watch that you got from your, as a Yerusha from your grandfather, that you're going to make sure that you own a waistcoat as well. You're going to want to wear it from time to time. Now, this is a nice tachshit. But he says it's not really a tachshit, because if it's not working, you wouldn't wear it. This is the litmus test, if you like. If it's a tachshit, then you'll wear it even if it's not functioning. So a pocket watch, you wouldn't wear it, I don't think, even if it's not functioning. Now, my wife's got a gold watch, which is a bit temperamental and doesn't always function. But she often wears it as a bracelet, even though it's not, you know, it's not telling the time. It's a nice gold, you know, bracelet around her wrist. And, you know, therefore, you know, she wears it. So that would be a tachshit. Whereas a pocket watch, that, you know, you wouldn't wear it just as a tachshit. Obviously, if you do wear it, even though it's not working, you've got a gold pocket watch that you got as a Yerusha from your grandfather. It hasn't worked for the past 25 years, but it's actually worth £500, and it's got his initials on it, and it's very nice. You know, so you like to wear it for special occasions. If anybody asks you what the time is, you'll say to them, time to buy a watch. It's functioning there as a tachshit. But a wristwatch, even if it's a nice looking wristwatch, and you could say it's a sort of a fashion status symbol or something like that, it still isn't really a tachshit, because you wouldn't wear it if it wasn't working. But here's his kiddush. Aval kshelov shal guf hayad mamash, where you're actually wearing it on your wrist, yoter notesh nechshav levisha mamash. That says, oh, that's levisha. That's wearing it. V'raya mitabat sheish alei chotam laish. So he said a good example would be, you've got a signet ring. That's, a man can wear a signet ring. She'ein alav iso hotzah. Ashe tashmisho hu limlacha she'asur b'shabat. Och she'it kalkel achotam lo yalbishenu. V'mikol makom mutar. So he says, man's allowed to wear a signet ring in the street, even though if the stamp on the signet ring that was worn away, you wouldn't wear it any longer. That nevertheless, seeing as you're actually wearing it, it's not so much a tachshit as a levush. So this is, I think, quite a chiddush, but it's very, very interesting. In terms of saying a tachshit is something which goes on top of your clothing. So you're wearing a brooch. That's a tachshit. That if you're actually wearing it on you, so it's not so much a tachshit, but it's levisha. Or maybe he's not saying that a tachshit goes on top of you, but he's saying that a tachshit can be attached, whereas something, if it's actually on you, then you're wearing it. It doesn't need to conform to the rules of tachshit. That's quite a big chiddush. That would mean that the wristwatch, even if it's just a Casio, 1980s digital watch. They're back in now, I think, as retro accessories. But it's just a £5 wristwatch. It would still be permissible, even though it's not functioning as tachshit, because you're wearing it. Okay, Shmirat Shabbat Hilchata is essentially machmir on this point. He does bring down the notion that one can be, one can be makel. That's even Rav Moshe says that at the end of what he says, that it's Ra'u l'chol ben Torah v'Yerushalayim shelo l'lav shor b'Shabbat k'day shelo yavo l'hakel b'chol shaon. I don't know if that consideration, is necessarily so relevant. In terms of who has a pocket watch these days? I know one person who's got a pocket watch. So I understand the pocket watch is a problem. But to say that you shouldn't wear a wristwatch because people will come to use pocket watches on Shabbat. People don't have pocket watches. Rav Moshe's Tshuva was written in Tavshin Yud Zayin, 1957. Maybe lots of people had pocket watches back in 1957. So nowadays people don't. So, his concern is not necessarily so relevant. Okay, let's move on to a second topic that I want us to address this evening. We'll try. It's a big topic, but we'll try and keep it concise. And this is the question of, again, I get asked this question usually once a year. This year I might not get it because of lockdown and summer holidays being curtailed. But the question very often comes up. We're going away on holiday. There's obviously no Eruv where we are. We're taking a cottage in the middle of nowhere. And little Jacqueline or Rochela or Isabella or whatever it is. She can't walk very far. We heard that you can carry a child on Shabbat so long as they're able to walk. Is that true? In my previous shul, people would say that. Somebody in Golders Green told us that you're allowed to do this. That was always the benchmark. Somebody in Golders Green says it's all right. What's the true story there? So there's a Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Gimel. The Mishnah says as follows, that Hamotzi Ochlin Pachot Mikishio Bikli, so if you carry out just a very small amount of food for which you wouldn't be chayav because it's insignificant, and you carry it out in a kli, that's then just as you're not chayav for the food, you're also not chayav for carrying out the kli. Shakli tfeila lo, because the kli is secondary to the food. Et achay bamita. Likewise, if you carry out a person on a bed or on a stretcher, that you won't be chayev, because the stretcher is essentially facilitating you being able to carry the person, so it's secondary to the person, and seeing as you're not chayev on the person, you're not chayev on the bed either. That's however, et hamet bamita, chayav. If you carry out a corpse on a bed or a stretcher, you'll be chayav. So look at look at Rashi. Rashi says, why are you not chayav for carrying out a person? The chaylo mechayav al hotzato. You're not chayav for carrying out a person. Dehu mekil atzmo v'nosei atzmo, because he can make himself seem lighter and can carry himself. Now, it's a bit challenging to try and work out exactly what this means. But this is a notion in the Gemara there on Daf Tzadik Daled. You've got it in front of you, that of Chai Noseh Et Atzmo. The notion that a human being, a person, in some way transports themselves. Now, what Rashi, the straightforward Rashi, reading of Rashi, which is challenging, is to say that Rashi is saying that, that the person sort of somehow propels themselves upwards and, lightens the load. It's difficult to understand what that would really mean. That I think that it's very possible that what Rashi's saying is that a person who's alive, they can spread themselves, they can spread their weight out in such a way that they're going to be helping the person and making themselves seem lighter. They're obviously not going to be any lighter. Their mass is always going to be the same. But, you know, if you think about, you know, you're giving somebody a fireman's lift, that, you know, they can help, you know, adjust themselves. That's by the way they'll cling on to you. Or even you think of a child, you're carrying a child, the way they cling on to you, the way they hold on to you, is going to make it easier or more difficult for you to carry them. And therefore, you're not going to be chayv because they're assisting you in some way with the way that they're carrying you. Now, the question is, why should this be? Why should this be patur? Why should you not be chayev? So if you look at Tosfot says, Taimelari lama patur, di mishum shachai mekel atzmo, falo afilu b'masui kal yoter chayav. That's, so he said, even if it's something lighter, you're going to be chayev. V'im mishum dishnayim shasa'u paturin, you can't say that it's because it's two people doing something together, and where you've got two people doing something together, you're patur, because you could well argue that this is a case where, no, it's ze yachol ve ze eino yachol. So the person can't carry themselves. That, you know, if they don't want to be walking and they want to be carried, somebody else has to do it for them. So it's not, even though the person might be spreading their load, you can't say it's shnayim shaso, because the person carrying them, you know, the person doing the carrying is actually doing the carrying. So for Omeri to mimeshkan kamrina shelo hayu nosim davar chai. So Reed says that the point is that it doesn't fit in with everything in the Mishkan. All the Avot Menachot, they have to fit into something which was in the Mishkan. And if it's too dissimilar, so then you're not going to be chayav. And this is too dissimilar to the way that Hotzah took place in the Mishkan. So the Plain Yehoshua asks the question and says, hold on a minute, that there are lots of things in the Avot Melachot which aren't really exactly as it appears in the Mishkan. So why should all of a sudden we say that, oh, you're not going to be chayav because, ah, they carried this way, but they didn't carry that way. So he says, because this is the nature of the Isra of Hotzah. Isra Hotzah, the Melacha of Hotzah is known as, this is a Tosfot right at the beginning of Masechet Shabbat, is that it's a Melacha Gerua. It's an inferior type of malacha, because all the other types of malachot, there's some intrinsic change in what's happening. You've got a thread and you've turned it into a garment. You've got a mixture and you've separated it into two things. When you carry something from one rishut to another, or arba amot b'rishut harabim, it doesn't undergo any change. It's exactly the same as what it was before. That's what it is now. So the Melacha of Hotzah is a Melacha Gerua. It's an inferior type of Melacha. And therefore, therefore with the Melacha Gerua, you need the Toladah to be very, very similar to what was in the Mishkan. Okay, so that's Tosfot and the Pnei Yehoshua's question on the Tosfot. That's Rav Moshe in Igrot Moshe. That's right at the beginning of Yoredeah, Simon Bet. He has a chidush of what it is, why chai noseh et atzmo, that you're going to be patur. And this links in with an understanding of what Rashi says. So we'll just go through a couple of lines here in Rav Moshe. So he's saying that it's Hotzah if it's a case where the only way this result could have been achieved is through Hotzah.
So
Right, so what's the notion of hot sa'ah? The notion of hot sa'ah, for it to be a malacha, is when I can see item X at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's inside the house, and I see it at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's outside the house. There's only one possible way that it got from A to B, and that's by somebody carrying it. And that is the malacha of hot sa'ah. However, if there's another way that it could have got from A to B, then that doesn't fit into the biblical model of hot sa'ah. So with chai noseh tatzmo, that the person could have walked. It's not muchrach that the way it got from A to B is by being carried. And therefore, chai noseh tatzmo, you're not going to be chayav on, because the malacha in the Mishkan was a malacha where it was clear that A has moved, that item X has moved from A to B through the medium of hot sa'ah. If it hasn't moved through the necessarily moved through the medium of hot sa'ah, you won't be chayav. So it's, oh, what about a bal chai? What about an animal? We don't apply the principle of chai noseh tatzmo to an animal. So he says, oh, because with an animal also, that it's very often it's muchrach that somebody will have needed to move it. In terms of, you know, for item X to definitely have moved from A to B, you can't rely on the animal walking by itself. I can shout at my dog, you know, all day to come inside the house, right? But it might ignore me. And so I want to stay outside. I don't like it when you sing Bus Over Doggin. I don't want to come in and hear your Zemiris. Right? And therefore, in some instances, I'm going to have to pick up the dog. Let's put to one side the muksa questions, but I'm going to have to pick up the dog and carry it inside. However, with a person can always make that decision to go from A to B. And therefore, that it doesn't fit into the Torah model of hot sa'ah. Now, the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Kaf Chet talks about Isha Madadait Bana, that a woman can sort of prod her child along, to walk, sort of half drag him. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ematay bismanshu notela chatumaniach achat." Avalim gaya gorera. So that's provided the child is taking some sort of steps. But if you're just dragging the child along, okay, then it's asur. Now it's only going to be asur that's midrabanan because chay noseh tatzmo. Okay, so it's going, but nevertheless, it's asur midrabanan. But so it's asur midrabanan to transport this child, to drag the child along. Even though it's a problem, even though we've got the notion there of chay noseh tatzmo. Now if we look in the Beit Yosef, that's in Simon Shinchet, this is codified. The Chataf Haran, Avalim Haya Gorer, Asur V'chein Hilchata, T'kevan Shu Katan Kol Kach She'inu Elo Gorer, Lom Modu Rabbanan Rabbi Natan, V'chein T'katav Rabbein Yerucham B'ntiv Aleph Chelek Aleph, V'zeh L'shono V'dav K'shenotel Achat U'meniach Achat, K'lom Asha Tinok Mania Raglo K'shen Magbiya Achat Maniach Acheret. Avon Gorer Shteyadav Asur. If you're just dragging him along, then it's prohibited. Mipnei Shenosato, because that's essentially you're carrying him. Vortam Sheomrim Shemutali Sati Nok Shegore Shteyraglav Tachay Nosetatz More Taul to be Adam. And those who want to say, a child that you can drag along because Chay Nosetatz More. Or that you can carry the child. That's because chay noseh tatzmo. They're mistaken. Dulam ruchay noseh tatzmo. Elal potro mechatat. It's not a heter. It just exempts you from a chiyuv chatat. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Mem Aleph as well. Now, if we look at the Mishnah Brura, the Mishnah Brura is very interesting on this point. The Mishnah Brura is Sif Katan Kufnun Dalad. says you mustn't drag him along, mifneshen osato, because essentially you're carrying him, kakatav rashi, mashmitzvila da have kemoshen osso, the inkein afil of a carmelit osso. So even in a carmelit it will be prohibited, the ishim and kilim baza. Avali saoto akte for, gamba carmelit osso lechole alma. Certainly to pick the child up and carry him is going to be prohibited even in a carmelit. Lots of people think, oh, in a Carmelit, a suburban street, that's it's not a problem. They carry their kids. They're in error. Why are they in error? They think, but they're wrong. Yeah, it's true, it's in a Carmelit, so it's a double drabanan here. But nevertheless, it's still prohibited. Better not to make a fuss about it. You've got to be practical about these things. If nobody's going to listen to you, then don't take out a full-page advert in the Jewish Tribune to try and communicate that. The katan shein yachol leilech ba'atzmo klal chayav. And if the child's not able to walk, then you're going to be chayav, because you can't apply the principle of chay noseh tatzmo. He can't be noseh tatzmo. Chayav l'rovai poskim k'shenoseh b'rishus harabim. Now, he then says, v'alideinu yudi shari l'didai. You can get a goy to that carry your child, or to push your child in the buggy, to ein matzui etzlein rishus harabim. This is a prima gadin, because we don't have real rishus harabim. So it's a Carmelit. Now, the big question here is, why should that make a difference? That's generally speaking, we don't say that you can get a Nochri to do an Issa de Rabbanan for you, unless it fits into the criteria that we discussed previously about Amir al-Akum. That you can do Amir al-Akum in certain instances, that's where it's an Issa de Rabbanan, and where it's Tzorech Gadol, Hefsed Mamon, Tzorech Choli, whatever it is. Stam to be able to do it. Why should you be lenient? So one possibility is to say, just here we've got three drabanans. It's not a standard case of an Issa Draba, but it's three drabanan. It's a Carmelit, it's Chai Noseh Tatzmo, that's if we're talking about a child that can walk, and it's Amir al-Akum. But nonetheless, we don't usually see that we can be makel in three drabanans. So Ravoznin Shevet Halevi Chelek Zayin Simon Lamed Zayin, he addresses this point, that, and he thinks that must be that according to the Prima Gadim, that this is Letzorech Gadol. Why? Because the child, you've got a little, young child. The young child needs his mother. That's so if the mother's going somewhere, the child needs to come with. So therefore, it's tzorech. It's amira la'akum b'makom tzorech. That's the mother's going to shul, or the mother's going to bar mitzvah lunch or something like that. That's therefore it's tzorech gadol, because the child needs to be with the mother. That's obviously the question would come up, what if the child doesn't need to be with the mother? That's, you could get a babysitter. It's not that the child needs to nurse. You've got a three-year-old who can't walk half an hour on Shabbat, can't walk 2 miles on Shabbat. You can get a babysitter for the morning, so you won't bring instead of getting a goy to push the baby to shul. So that would be, an interesting question there. That we'll just finish off by flagging up a tshuvot of Rav Moshe Sternbach in Tshuvot Vahanagot and Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igrot Moshe about this happens, everybody's child, this happens. You think they're able to walk to shul, you live in a place where there's no Eruv. That's kids who grow up in places with no Eruv in start walking properly much earlier than kids who grow up in a place with an Eruv. That's because if you live out at a place with where there's no A roof, you're pushing your kids to be able to walk that half a mile to shul. That's, you know, from the age of 1.5. As soon as they can toddle, it's, you know, can they make it to shul yet? That's whereas if you live with an A roof, you just stick them in a buggy and you don't worry till they're about 5 and they say, oh, they can probably walk to shul now. That's, but in any event, so you've got your kids walking to shul and then the kid sits down in the street and balls its head off and won't move. That's till you pick it up and carry it. Can you carry the child home? That's Rav Moshe Sternbach says that you can't. That's it's not. You can't regard this child as a chole sufficiently. That's it, as a chole shein bo sakana that you could, you know, possibly do an issa to Rabbanan. That, and he says that if the child won't move, so then it's like kafut. It's like a child that's tied up, and therefore you can't apply the principle of chai noseh tatzmo. So he says the only way that you can do it is by asking a nochri to carry the child. That's on the other hand, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says it's an actual fact you can. That's because there's significant tzar for the child. That's, and it's in a karmelit, and it's chai noseh tatzmo. That's so he thinks that if necessary you can. So you've got, you know, it's a drabanan because you're in a karmelit. That's that of course only works if you believe it's a karmelit. If you're within the eruv but you don't use the eruv because you don't hold with the eruv because you hold that it's a rosh tarabim, so then you obviously can't hold that the suburban streets are karmelit. So you couldn't rely on this. If you accept that it's a karmelit, that's and you're in a place with no eruv, and it's chai noseh tatzmo, and it's makom tzar, so then you could pick up the child and carry him home. As I say, when our kids were young and this happened, that, you know, and again, people, you know, often would ask me this question, you know, how sure do you need to be that the child can walk to shul and back again? So I said, you know, you need to be reasonably sure. I said, any child might just, you know, plop themselves down on the pavement and refuse to budge. Right, but it needs to be that, you know, there's a, you know, an overwhelming probability that they can walk to shul, stay in shul for 2 hours and come back again. If that's not the case, then you're letting yourself in for trouble. But with our kids, when they were, you know, it did sometimes happen. So that's, I was makel, that's, I followed Rav Moshe, adding in to go pachot, pachot midalas amot. So to carry the child, you know, less than 4 amot, stop, that, and then carry on again, and combine all that, and I felt that it was permissible. That's.